Amen, brother.
Glory to God, he's all together, brother.
Yes, he is.
He just gets better and better in my soul.
Amen. Oh! Amen, brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's fired up, brother. Amen, brother. That's good. That's good. I'm glad to hear that good news. Hallelujah. That's just wonderful. Amen. And I hear they're planning on bringing a group to the youth rally. And where exactly is that?
Samoa's.
Virginia.
158 all the way up.
I know where 158 is.
All the way to 119.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Isn't that a blessing? Now listen, y'all. There's people coming, bringing people to our youth rally that are thinking in their mind, If I can just get them there, maybe God will do something for it. That puts a pressure on me and you to be right with God. Because we can't change somebody's life. I mean, we can plan out a bunch of stuff, and we ought to, and we are, but we can't change somebody's life. Not permanently. You can get people emotionally stirred up, maybe get a little commitment out of them, might last a few days, but we can't permanently do a work in somebody's heart. The Lord has to do that. And so, I hope that you'll pray with me. Pray with me this next few weeks. We got 3 weeks. It ain't going to kill us to give up stuff for three weeks. It ain't going to kill you. My goodness, you'd be better off. You know, after you fast, your food tastes better majorly. I remember one time years ago, I was fasting. And, you know, you're supposed to brush your teeth and stuff so because you stink when you fast. And I was brushing my teeth. Man, that toothpaste tastes so good, I want to just drink it. I thought, boy, it's so bad. Toothpaste tastes good. But it makes food taste better. So if you eat all the time, you lose your taste buds or something. So God rewards you in many different ways when you sacrifice for others. So I hope that you'll do that. All right, get your Bibles now. We're going to hit a hard place in this study tonight. I'm teaching on how you treat the Holy Spirit. How do you treat the Holy Spirit? I'm sure you know, we all know this, but we don't act like it or think like it. The Holy Spirit is the third member of the Godhead. He is God, and he lives inside of every one of us. That's not just a figure of speech. That ain't just a parable. He's really, the Holy Spirit's inside you. Like a man said one time, says, is it all right for me to go there, here or there? And guy said, well, just remember, you take Jesus with you wherever you go. Amen. Well, that'll make you think different, won't it? Right. Man, that'll make you question, do I want the Lord to go here? Do I want, that's what guy said one time, something about smoking. He said, every time you take a puff, you blow smoke in Jesus' face. He's in your heart. And I mean, that ain't really true. But you think about this body being the temple of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. You defile the temple of the Holy Ghost, people. And every old preacher said, be careful what you put in it. Be careful what you put on it. How you dress. Be careful. Every bit of it should honor the one that's inside of us. The Lord is inside of us. So, here's what I said. Here's the way you can treat the Holy Spirit. Now, here's all the things we're going to go over. He can be grieved. He can be quenched. He's a person. He can be lied to. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. He can be tempted tonight. He can be resisted. He can be blasphemed, but he can be obeyed. That's seven things how we treat the Holy Spirit in our life. Now, you don't want to miss none of this because it's important, very important. If God's living in me, somebody said, well, if Jesus is in my heart, and Jesus is in her heart, and Jesus is in her heart, and Jesus is in his heart, and millions of Christians around the world, how can he be in everybody's heart? Because he's omnipresent. The Holy Spirit can be in everybody's heart all at the same time. Now, it were not like it was in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come on them or fill them to do a work or something, but he was not permanently indwelling them. They were not circumcised from in their hearts and mind. That never happened until Acts chapter 2, or maybe a little bit before, depending on how you believe. But until Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit spiritually circumcised them guys and put them into the body of Christ, and he came permanently to dwell in us. That's why David prayed, Lord, don't take your spirit from me. He'd come on him and leave. So, left Saul, left Samson, didn't realize the Lord departed from him. And tonight, we'll talk about that some other time. But last week, we talked about he can be grieved and he can be quenched. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. He's like a dove. You can grieve him. You can, by your lifestyle, by your attitude. How many have ever been really filled with the Holy Spirit and you've really been right with the Lord, and then you got real hateful to your kids or to your husband or to your wife, and you just felt the Lord just, you know, it dulls you, like dulling the knife blade when you sin or when you say something or do something wrong. You can feel it. You can feel, Lord, I've grieved the Spirit. I've grieved the Spirit. How many times have we sat in church and God be dealing with your heart? Maybe to go to the altar. Maybe to stand up and say something. Maybe to give something. Maybe to put your arm around somebody and tell them you love them. You know what I've seen? I've seen revivals break out where somebody just does something real simple like that. A lady stood up one time, and a little girl, she come on the bus. She was crippled. She was sitting right here on this front row. And she stood up and said, I just want to thank Jesus for saving me, and the Lord's been so good to me. Whew, power of God come in the church. And I mean, it was good the rest of the day. And you know what? She obeyed the Spirit. You can quench him. How many of you have ever felt like the Lord wanted you to say something, do something, or go somewhere? You felt like he wanted you to, and you didn't. Would you raise your hand, please? I have many, 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 many times. Now, I don't know if that's always the Lord or not. Sometimes you think it is. Sometimes you think it ain't. I'm sorry, it might be a little... It was hot in here a minute ago. It might be the Lord, and it might not. Sometimes we just maybe think it is. Maybe sometimes it ain't. Maybe sometimes you just have good intentions. I don't know. Somebody said, well, you believe the Lord wants me to do? I don't know. I can't tell you everything God wants you to do. But I know one thing. I felt strong before that God wanted me to do something. And I said no, and I felt terrible. I had to ask him to forgive me. So he can be grieved. He can be quenched. He can be quenched. I've seen preachers quench the Spirit. When the Lord start moving in church, the preacher get up and just shut it down. Say, all right. And you don't do that. They're scared it's going to get out of hand. Somebody's going to do something crazier or something. And they quench the Spirit. Shouldn't be that way. Let the Lord have his way, buddy. And so anyway, tonight we're going to talk about the Spirit of God can be lied to. And we're going to tell you a husband and wife in the Bible that conspired and lied to the Holy Ghost, and God killed them. All right, Acts chapter 5. People don't even believe that no more. Even Christians don't even believe God killed people. He did all the way through the Bible. I didn't write it. I'm telling you, he did. Amen. He killed these two people. All right. That guy's over there in the Old Testament said the Lord slew him. Lord slew him. And he's able to do that. He has the power to do that. And the right. Acts chapter 5. We're going to learn about a man and his wife who lied to the Holy Ghost and tempted the Holy Ghost. How can you lie to the Holy Ghost? How can you tempt the Holy Ghost? Verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife. The word Ananias means Jehovah is gracious. And Sapphira, believe it or not, means beautiful. Remember the old, wasn't it Amos and Andy or one of them said his wife was named Sapphire? Old Sapphire, remember? And that's a Bible name. Although I don't think you'd want to name your girl that. She wasn't really right with God, but it means beautiful. Anyway, sold a possession. Now you got to know what's going on, you got to look back at verse 35 of the previous chapter, chapter 4. It said, 34. It said they sold their houses and land and brought the money thing and laid it down at the apostles' feet and distributed it even into everybody. That's where Karl Marx and him got their ideas in communism for that and misused it. Equal redistribute the wealth to make everybody the same. That's communism. In real revival, it happens with people willingly. If you do it against people's will, that ain't right. If I want to sell my stuff and give Brother Derek half of it, then that's my business. But nobody should make me do that. Now, if he wanted to sell all his stuff and give me half of it, he'd finally be right where he should be with God after all these years. Or just give me all of it. I'm just kidding. But anyway, if somebody forces you to do it, that ain't God. That's communism. You can't make people be right with God. You can't legislate righteousness. But they were, everybody at the church was all fired up. Man, glory to God. The Lord's been good. Peter, I'm selling my house and 10 acres of land, and I just want to give it to the church. I just want God's will. I don't care if I have anything or not. And then somebody else said, I do too. Glory to God. I sell, bring the deed. Here's my house, my property in here. And everybody started doing it. Man, that's what you call a meeting, ain't it? That's what you call a meeting. It's funny that them guys that preach on Acts chapter 2 and 3 all the time on TV don't never mention that. They don't sell their house and land. Lord, some of them's house cost $3 million. But they don't ever get that part. But anyway, they started selling it, and everybody started laying it at the apostles' feet. I don't know where these people lived. I guess they rented them a place or something that sold their house and land. But look here what happened. And I know there's probably some of you that are going to believe that Ananias and Sapphira wasn't saved, but there's no indication at all that these were lost people. I don't think you could get a lost Jew in that day to sell their land for Jesus Christ. Amen. They're saved. Verse 1, Acts 5:1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy, is that private? See where we get the word private? Privy, secret, privy to it. And brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Now, how in the world did he lie to the Holy Ghost? And to keep back part of the price of the land. While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? You could have done anything you wanted to with it. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Now stop right there just a second. What he's saying was, see, Ananias came in there and said, we sold our land for $75,000, Peter, and here's the money. Now, they really got $120,000 out of it. But they kept $45,000. Him and his wife said, we'll keep $45,000, and when this revival dies down, we'll have money to live off of. But we're just going to, we sold it, and here's every bit of the money. Glory to God, hallelujah. And he looked at him and said, man, it was your land. You didn't have to do this. You could have just kept it, and there wouldn't have been a problem. But you've come in here and lied to the Holy Ghost. How in the world? He lied to Peter. And Peter said, you've lied to the Holy Ghost. How is that? Evidently, I've studied this and I prayed about it the last 2 weeks. Evidently, when God is moving and the Holy Spirit's working and you deliberately come to the church and lie to the preacher or to the church about spiritual matters, you are in fact lying to the Holy Ghost. That's what he told him he'd done. He said, you ain't lied to men, you lied to God. You think you just lied to me, buddy, but you've lied to God. Because God's watching you. It's the ultimate hypocrisy. It's not just like saying, oh my goodness, I'm not living like I ought to live. I feel like a hypocrite. It ain't like that. It's like coming out in front of everybody and say, we sold it for $75,000 and here it is, blam, when you really sold it for $120,000. Right out openly lying to the preacher and the church in the house of God. All right, verse 5. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Fell down and died right then and there. And great fear came on all them who heard these things. I reckon it did. He walked in there in front of all them people, said, we sold it for $75,000. Here's the money. And Peter said, man, how come you've done this? Why'd you do this? You've lied to the Holy Ghost. Bam! Fell over dead. You say, well, he just got scared and had a heart attack. Verse 6. And the young men arose. Everybody looking at your Bible? And the young men arose, wound him up. Isn't that a great old, see that southern expression? Wound him up. Well, that winds him up. You know, at the end of the game, an announcer says, folks, that winds it up. Why do we say that? Why do we say that? Winding up don't mean something's ended. Winding up means you wind up something, it's ready to start and take off. But since you ain't going to beat that King James Bible, are you? It controls that our English language. We say, that winds him up. Them men come in there and wound him up. The end of it. He's gone, done, finished. Winds him up and carried him out and buried him. Verse 7. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Here she comes sashaying in there. Takes a woman 3 hours longer to get ready for church than a man. I'm just reading it. I didn't write it. Don't get mad at me. Take it up with the Lord. Here he's done come in dead and buried. 3 hours later, she'd been working on that hair. She'd been doing that makeup. She's got them fingernails all of it. And here she comes in there and she comes in, hallelujah, 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 Peter. And I can just see her, Sapphira, coming in like that. Oh, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Where's Ananias? Where's Ananias? Me and him have a gift to present to the church. Peter said, how much do you sell that land for? Isn't it weird? You'd think the deacons would have met her at the front door and said, sister, come over here. We got some bad news for you. We done had your husband's funeral. We done had his funeral. She didn't even know he's dead. They done had him buried, brother. Son, they didn't mess around back then. I mean, doesn't that seem kind of cold-hearted for Peter and them? They didn't send her a text and say, your husband just dropped dead at the altar. You better come on over here. We're getting ready to bury him. We ain't got time to fool these people, these Baptists falling around here. We got to move. We got a world to witness to. Nope. Look here what it says. Verse 7, space of 3 hours after, his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Nobody met her at the door and told her. Peter didn't say, sister, I have some really, really bad news. It is unfortunate for me to have to tell you, your husband just dropped dead here a few minutes ago. He didn't even mention it. He said, how much do you sell that land for? She said, $75,000. Okay. How is it, verse 9, that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? They lied to him. They tempted him. Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Boom! She hits the floor. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. That's why people don't like the Bible. That's why the Bible is called hate literature by educators and scientists and atheists. But you know what we know? That when the Spirit of God's moving strong, strange things happen like that. Now, buddy, if God killed everybody in Burke County that wanted to give the impression they're right when they ain't right, there'd be 1,000 dead people laying in this town Sunday morning. And all the people who say Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, he still works today as he did in the same church, and he does. I'm not saying the Lord is changed or he's different, but they don't say, he don't still do that. Amen? It's funny. Everybody says, God still heals. God, and he does. He did still. But he don't do it like he did then. He don't kill them like he did then either. See, you can't have it both ways. We don't say, well, I can still raise dead people, but we don't get killed if we hypocrite a little bit. You better be glad we don't. I'm looking at a bunch of people probably dead over the year or somewhere or another. I would. You better thank the Lord he don't do that every time you. As far as I know, I ain't never just come right in and told a big lie. But I ain't never sold my land, gave it to church neither. But let's see. I'm sure we've all done been guilty of it. Giving people the impression you're something you ain't. Making them think you're more spiritual than you are. I have. And I'm sorry. And I'm telling you, saved people can be influenced and filled with that. You know what Peter told that guy? Satan, fill thine heart. Satan, fill thine heart. Now, if he's saved, that brings up a big study. Satan can fill the heart of a Christian. You say, I don't believe it. Yeah, you can believe whatever you want to, but I've seen some Christians I think got really full of the devil. Now, I can't prove that Ananias is saved, but all the ones in 34, 35, 36 of the previous chapter were, and I'm saying, I don't believe you could get a lost Jew to give money in honor of Jesus Christ. Can't prove it one way or the other. But I had people, some men tell me one time, they said, well, Jesus is in my heart, so the devil can't get in there too. Well, that's a technicality, and you got to be careful about that kind of stuff. The devil can get your hands, he can get your eyes, he can get your thoughts, he can get your mind, he can get your feet. I tell you, a guy in 1 Corinthians 5, he got his body and he was committing fornication with his stepmother, and they turned him over to Satan, killed him, killed his body so his spirit would be saved. That guy's saved. I'll give you something to think about tonight, y'all. Listen, saved people can be influenced by. Saved people can be controlled by. I can let you have my car and you can drive it. It's yours. Satan can't own me. He can't own my body or my soul, but he can control my flesh. If you let him. If you let him. All right, I ain't got time to get into all that tonight, but if you want to ask a question or a comment, you are more than welcome to. My point is tonight, you can lie to the Holy Ghost. They are the group that want the spiritual people in the church to think that they are spiritual. There's not much of a chance these are unsaved Jews putting money in a local church. There's not almost zero chance of that happening. Matter of fact, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, it said, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. And a Christian, there's a lot of people shorten their life because of sin. Graveyards full of Christians out there that would not get right and wouldn't repent, and God, they shortened their life because they wouldn't get right with the Lord. Okay? Amen. I hope I'm getting my point across right tonight. It's really hard. Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You come in here corroborating your husband's story, and you said you sold it the same amount as he said you sold it for, and you see them feet right there coming in the tent right there? Yes, sir. Well, they just got through having your husband's funeral, and you done missed it. Bam! She fell over. Son, that's rough. How's that for a preacher filled with love and compassion? The sweet pastor, Peter. Why didn't he meet her at the door and say, listen, sister, God done killed your husband. Please don't come in here. Stay right. Isn't that something? Well, Peter just said, what'd you sell that land for? $75,000. Bang. She hit the floor. It's almost like he set her up. That's awful. Some Christians never get straightened out till they're in their casket. You heard that? That's right. Amen. Your husband's already dead, and that shows the Catholics wrong, church is wrong on mortal sins. They have mortal sins and venial sins, and mortal sins are adultery, murder, doing major big things like that, and you'll die and go to hell for them. But venial sins are little things like lying that you won't die and go to hell for. Of course, that's wrong. A sin, you are breaking God's commandment and God's law. Like this lady used to tell me, she said, Danny, what if you go out and get drunk and you die? And I said, well, what if you gossip and then you die? And she said, well, that's different. I said, no, it ain't neither. If you go to hell for drinking, you'll go to hell for gossiping. Ain't one sin going to send you to hell, another sin won't. And he can be tempted, he can be lied to. The Holy Spirit can be. All right, does anybody have a question on what I said? I guarantee I've stirred up some controversy, some question, and I've done it on purpose to make you dig in your scripture and learn, okay? I'd rather preach this story than teach it, really. It makes really good preaching. Anybody? Yeah. Yeah, it may be. And that's what I said a minute ago about it was so hot then. The Spirit was so strong. 3,000 people getting through, it was so strong. Miracles, dead people. Usually, if the Spirit's strong, the judgments are strong. You know, and you're right. She lied directly to an apostle. You can't lie directly to an apostle now. They ain't none. There's people claim they are, but they ain't. And that's a very good point. It seems like, to me, in studying church history and then in my own life, it seems like if it's really hot, and when I say that, I mean God's blessing, the power of God's moving, it's revival's broke. It seems like when the blessings are really strong like that, the judgments are also strong. But the average church now has neither blessings or judgment. God's just pulled back and said, y'all can do whatever you want to. Sell your land, lie about it, do whatever. And he don't even mess with them.
I believe that there's what I call small demons that just appear, that you can plead the blood of Christ and bind these things. And some of the higher demons you can't in these things. And I've heard what Richard Horning used to always say, if you come up against Satan yourself, and he probably was there when that three apostles was together, I mean, when would they could have had power against Satan at all?
That's scary. When I studied this, it scared me because I thought, Lord have mercy. I started looking back over my life and I thought, my goodness, have I ever gave the impression that, yes, sir, I have. You give the impression something's one way when it really ain't. I mean, that's serious business. That's serious business. Huh? Somebody else? Yeah. Amen. I think what I said over a minute ago sums it up best for now. I feel this feels like the Lord just backed off the world most places now. He don't bless or kill people. Just let them alone, do whatever they want to. But if you got a church where it's hot and where God's working, you would also have a church where there's judgments falling. That's the way I think it is. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. But it was so hot back then. I mean, people, Peter's shadow could pass over a dead person and they get up. That's why these guys on the radio and TV, they say, well, I've got the power of the apostles. Well, you should go over there to the hospital and empty that thing. Walk by them, let your shadow pass over them. They can get up. Last thing in the world you'd ever have to do is take up an offering. You'd have so much money you wouldn't know what to do with it. But this weekend, these millionaires that bless your ministry like crazy if you could heal them with cancer. And people, somebody said, well, no, they got to have the faith. Them dead people didn't have no faith. Right. Amen? Amen? They didn't have no faith. Amen. That's right. Now, so there are cases where it said, if you believe, and you do believe, but them apostles, they could walk by somebody. It said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It didn't say nothing about their faith. It just said, lay hands on them. They didn't have to get in some kind of a, they just said, lay hands on them, they shall recover. That's what the Lord told them. But when that's going on like that, the judgments are hard too. Bam, kill one here. Bam, kill one there. And if the Lord, to the extent he's blessing, that same extent he's judging too. I'm assuming. I don't know if I'm right on that or not, y'all. Somebody help me. Anybody? Miss Jason on his, with his comment. What, straighten me out, Brother Derek. Yeah, that's right. I was thinking that same thing. You really want God to move? You're inviting him to judge your sins too. Amen. Amen. He's going to anyway. Might as well get it over with. But I tell you something, some of y'all could study on this about Ananias and Sapphira being saved. That shows you what can happen to a Christian. Now, if they're lost, that's a weird situation. Lost people selling their land, giving it to church. Why did they care what spiritual people thought of them? So, y'all tell me. If they're saved, Satan can fill a Christian's heart. Anybody? What do you think?
Saved.
Amen. Say, brother.
I just kind of pondered it. I mean, if you look at like today in America, there's people that join, especially a lot of your bigger, maybe more liberal churches for status, and they may give a lot of money to that church, but they've not really been regenerated. I'm not saying they're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm saying it's possible maybe they even thought they were, but.
Yeah, as a status symbol. That is true. A lot of people give, join big churches and give money just for, yeah. But it just don't seem, the way it was happening there, revival and everybody was getting there. It wasn't no big dead church downtown. That was the real deal there. And Holy Ghost blessing, people getting saved. It just don't seem like a lost person won't be a part of that movement. I mean, I'm not saying they can't, but ain't there another guy over there? Where's that other guy in the book of Acts? Where it said, that other guy, I don't know, yeah, here it is. Acts chapter 8, it said, that guy, he wanted to buy the Holy Ghost. And he said, verse 21, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of thy wickedness. And da, 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 da. Look at verse 23. Now that guy was saved. I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And then the guy in 1 Corinthians 5 was saved, who they was committing unmentionable sin. He said it's unheard of among the Gentiles. It was back then. It ain't no big deal now. And they killed him for it and turned his body over to the devil for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit would be saved in the day of judgment. Anybody else, right quick? We're about right out of time. Kids are going to be ready. Anybody? Yeah. Yeah. I would think of. Hadn't you felt like the devil just got all in you before I have? But I know the Lord didn't leave. The Lord didn't leave. But the devil can sure get a hold of you. That's hard to admit that the devil's got a hold of you. But y'all, if you'd be honest about it, most people, that has happened. Lose your temper and cuss somebody out or something. That ain't the Lord got a hold of you. Anybody else, right quick? Okay, we're going to stop right there. Now next week, Lord willing, we're going to talk about, here's you one to study. That blaspheming, the blaspheming of the Holy Ghost. It's really going to get technical when I get to that. And I'm going to teach it the way I believe it's right. Probably not the way you may hear it, but it's the only way it makes sense. And so I know people took their kids to church and somebody jumped up and shouted.